Harih Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryankaravavahai Tejasvinavadhitamastomavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, Chaitanya Upanayanam, Natya Shastra, Chapter 7, Ecstatic Emotional States, Bhavas. So now we're on the Vyavachari Bhavas, page 45. Sleeping, Nidra, is caused by Vibhavas such as weakness, fatigue, exhaustion, intoxication, indolence, too much thinking, too much eating, soporific nature, and the like. What's a soporific? A soporific.
Hypnotic or tranquilizing.
Oh, hypnotic states. Okay. It is to be represented on the stage by anubhava, such as heaviness of the face, stretching the limbs, rolling of the eyes, yawning, rubbing the body, deep breathing, relaxed body, closing the eyes, bewilderment, and the like. Epilepsy, apasmara, is caused by vibhava such as being possessed by a god, a naga, a yaksha, a raksha, a raksha?
I think so.
Rakshasa, a paisacha, or pisacha, and the like, and a memory of such things, eating food left after someone's partaking of it, staying in a deserted house, non-observance of proper interval of time in taking food, in sleeping, etc., derangement of the three doshas and the like. It is to be represented on the stage by anubhavas such as throbbing, trembling, running, falling down, perspiration, foaming in the mouth, hiccup, licking the lips with the tongue, and the like. Dreaming, supta, is caused by vibhavas such as interruption of sleep, enjoying objects as senses, infatuation of any kind, spreading the bed on the ground, dragging the bed over the ground and the like. The dreaming which occurs in sleep is to be represented by, so that means, though to be, I say, dreaming meaning daydreaming. Yeah? So this would be sleeping then. The dreaming which occurs in sleep is to be represented by anubhavas such as deep breathing, dullness of the body, closing the eyes, stupefaction of all the senses, dreams and the like. Awakening, vibodha, is the breaking of sleep, and it is caused by vibhavas such as digestion of food, bad dreams, loud sounds, sensitive touch, and the like. It is to be represented on the stage by anubhavas such as yawning, rubbing the eyes, leaving the bed, and the like. Indignation. Yeah, because one of the things Ayurveda, when the food digests, that's the time to wake up, and naturally wake up. If you haven't digested, you tend to keep sleeping. Right? So if you have a problem getting up in the morning, you check when was the last one you eat. So if you're eating at night, then that may be cause. Eat earlier. Then it will, you know, like that. Indignation, amarsha, is caused to persons abused or insulted by those having superior learning, wealth, or power. It is to be represented on the stage by anubhavas, such as shaking the head, perspiration, thinking, and reflecting with a downcast face, determination, looking for ways and means and allies, and the like. Dissimulation, avahita, is the concealment of appearance. It is caused by vibhavas, such as shame, fear, defeat, respect, deceit, and the like. It is to be represented on the stage by anubhavas, such as speaking like another person, looking downwards, break in the speech, feigned patience, and the like. Yeah, Cruelty. Augrata. Cruelty is caused by vibhavas such as arrest of robbers, offense to kings, offending words and the like. It is to be represented on stage by anubhavas like killing, imprisoning, beating, rebuking, and the like. Assurance, mati. Assurance comes to men when they are well versed in the meaning of many shastras. Assurance, mati, is caused by vibhavas, such as thinking about the meaning of many shastras and considering the pros and cons of things. It is to be represented on the stage by anubhavas, such as instructing pupils, ascertainment of meaning, removal of doubt, and the like. Disease. Mm-hmm. Vyadi, right? Mm-hmm. So mati means is that you're contemplating the shastras, that removes the doubts. Yes, yes. So if you contemplate the internet, it doesn't remove doubts, right? Because the whole point of the internet is to create passion so that you purchase things. Yes. You know, it's an economic consideration. And so then, you know, or establishing political positions or things like that. So the motive passion. So then by associating with that, that develops that passion. But when you, so it doesn't answer questions. It just creates more, because that's the whole point. Passion means there's more and more doubts. So there's more and more options. Because if it's that this will make me happy, you buy one thing. Mm-hmm. But if they've created doubt, then you're going to buy 3-4 things because you're not sure. Each one of them could create happiness. Yes. Yes.
Also, mati is considered another wife of dharma.
Oh, another
She's
wife
also
of dharma.
A wife
of dharma. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when it says dharma there, that means dharmaraj. Yamaraj. Okay. So Narayan is his sons.
Yiksha's daughter is Murti.
Huh?
Daksha's daughter. Sorry.
Daksha's daughter is Murti. Oh, okay. Like that. So it's slightly different than the father. Religious, but more on the spiritual, religious position. Yeah, so here the mati is then, assurance comes to men when they are well versed in the meaning of the shastras. So that's mati, because assurance comes because mati, they contemplate the shastras, and then based on that, they can understand what to do and what not to do. Right?
Knowledge and goodness.
Yes, yes, yes. Disease, vyadhi. Disease owes its origin to attack of 3 doshas, such as wind, vata, biles, pitta, and phlegm, kapha. Fever and similar other diseases are special varieties of it. Right? So these 3 go out of balance, you get disease. And so then fever is and other things are special varieties of that imbalance. So the imbalance is the problem. The symptom is the fever. Right? Fever is of 2 kinds, namely that with a feeling of cold, shita, and that with a feeling of heat, daha. Because you might feel cold from the fever, or you might feel hot from the fever. Fever with a feeling of cold should be represented by anubhava, such as shivering, tremor of the entire body, bending of different bodily parts, shaking of the jaws, narrowing down the nasal passage, dryness of the mouth, horripilation, lamentation, and the like. And that with a feeling of heat should be represented by throwing out clothes, the hands and the feet, desire to roll on the ground, use of unction, desire for coolness, lamentation, crying, and the like. The other types of sickness are to be represented on the stage by anubhavas, such as narrowing down the mouth, dullness of the body, deep breathing, making particular sounds, crying, tremor, and the like. Insanity, unmada. Insanity is caused by vibhavas such as death of beloved ones, loss of wealth, stroke of adversity, derangement of wind, vata, biles, pitta, and phlegm, kapha. Oh, really? It can come from all 3. I thought it was only wind. Wow, it comes from all 3. It is represented on the stage by laughing, weeping, crying, talking, lying down, sitting, running, dancing, singing, and reciting something without any reason. Smearing the body with ashes and dust. Taking grass, soiled cloth. Taking grass, that means just pulling out grass? So I know Prabhupada would, they'd sit in the field, and when they'd be probably giving class, the devotee says, pull grass. Prabhupada would tell them, don't do that. Yes, a symptom of insanity. Soiled cloth, tags. Tags? You must be insane if you laid the tags on. So if the tags are sticking out in the back of the cloth, then you know. So. Potsherd means a broken piece of pot. An earthen tray as decoration of the body. Oh, I see. Okay, soil cloth, tags, potsherd, and earth as decoration of the body. And many other senseless acts in imitation of others. Okay. So then, you're imitating what all these other crazy guys do, then you must be also a bit crazy. Death, marana. Death comes through disease as well as accidental injury. Of these two kinds of death that are from sickness is caused by vibhava, such as malady of the intestine and the liver, colic pain, disturbance of humors, tumors, boils, fever, cholera, and the like. And that due to accidental injury is caused by weapons, snake bite, taking poison, attack of ferocious animals. I was thinking, lack of ferocious? Why would that be? Attack of ferocious animals. Oh. Above its like? Okay. Injury due to falling down from elephant, horse, chariot, and other vehicles. Right? Don't fall off of elephants, right? I shall now speak of the different methods of their representation on the stage. Death from disease is to be represented on the stage by anubhavas such as looseness of the body, motionlessness of the limbs, closed eyes, hiccup, deep breathing, looking for family members, speaking indistinct words, and the like. Right? Because it also means that they're just not functioning, the senses aren't functioning. Death due to disease is to be represented on the stage by one mark, namely loose body and inactive sense organs. But death due to accidental injury is to be represented on the stage in different ways. Yeah, okay. So by disease, it's just the one, loose body, inactive, you know, just no response. Accidental injury has different ways. Example, death due to wound by weapons resented by anubhavas such as suddenly falling down on the ground and the like. Cases of snake bite or taking poison, there's a gradual development of symptoms which are eight in number. Namely, thinness of the body, tremor, burning sensation, hiccup, foam at the mouth, breaking of the neck, paralysis and death. Fright, trasha. Yes?
Nowadays, it is a fashion for people are wearing torn clothes. Is the reaction they get like?
they get cold knees. It's just taking you to extreme that you had the aspect of, you had new jeans, you bought them, and they were very new. They were the original denim color, like that. You know where denim comes from? No. From what I understand, it comes either from Andhran or Tamil Nadu, of some fishing village there, and they make denim as sails for their boats. So it's cloth for making sails. It's really strong. That's what they do it. And the blue, because they had bluing, you know, so that would be your color. Because white ones are going to look terrible, so you make it blue and all that. So they would come like that. And, it's naturally, it's a very strong cloth, so it's a bit stiff. And it has that plain color. Now, after you get a pair of jeans, and after you've worn them in, and after a few years, they get that soft look, and they also have, some places are a little bit worn. You know, in general, the color's a little down, and some places, you know, around the knees, thighs, or, hips, or like that, it'll be a little less color. And then that was considered fashionable. Right? So then they would take the path pants and do like a stone wash, where they would just put them in a thing with stones, and they would just beat it and kind of lessen it, and you know, it was uneven because it wasn't done in an even way, right? Then, if you take that farther, you have those pair of pants, you wear them for a few more, you know, years, then they get stressed. So this, you know, at the knees or other places, it starts to fray. But it's a very light fray, you know. Generally, at that point, your mother would put patches on your knees and stuff like that. But, you know, nowadays, patches are uncool, right? So all it is they're taking this to an extreme where they stress it so much that sometimes there's hardly anything left. I saw one advertisement, some big fashion house, this pair of pants, there's hardly anything left to it. It's so stressed. And they charge a ridiculous amount of money. You know? But, you know, what to do? So it's just taking something totally out of balance to extreme. So then the problem is that's your thing, but something like that goes out of fashion, it's out. You know what I'm saying? Or classic things, because they're balanced, then you can wear it today, you can wear it 100 years ago, you can wear it 100 years from now. You know what I'm saying? If you look at some of the ads for, you know, what a gentleman would wear, you know, literally 100 years ago, 150 years ago, like that, you know, especially the later, because it's closer to what, but let's say from the 1880s, 1890s, you'll see you could wear that today. So it's just that the modes get so much, there's so much ignorance and things like that, and things get out of balance, so then they get into this, that's all. You know, so it's in today, and then tomorrow it'll be gone. You know, because like I was saying before, it was just the plain, then it was a little bit washed, a light wash, then it's a heavier wash. Or then in India, they just wash it in one place, and the big, like the whole thigh is gone, rather than it's in a place of natural stress. You know, and it's all balanced. You know, so it looks really funny, but it's popular. So it's just when you know, the modes of nature get out of balance, then they come up with these things.
But in our childhood, it has to be very inauspicious if you are wearing some torn clothes.
Oh, that's going to be there. That remains. But I mean, we're talking about mode of ignorance, so it has to be inauspicious. You know, it's like wearing keys around your neck. You don't do that. But sometimes it's a fashion. You know? Because you generally wear keys around the neck when someone in the family dies. Then they wear keys. I don't know the significance. But like that, so it's considered... You know, it's like, you know, in serving, you serve backwards. That's for Petri's. You know, it's just like I serve him and he wants them also, so I'll serve this way because it's easy. Or I'm walking down this way, so I'll serve like this rather than turn around and do it the other way. So, you know, it's just these things are inauspicious, so then people do them because they don't know, because of the mode of ignorance. So I wouldn't worry about it. Yeah, I mean, you don't need to do that. Wear your stressed dhotis with the rips in the knees and like that. Look cool. You know how you say? Yeah?
Actually, recently, Prabhupada movie came a few years back. Yelver Prabhupada. So in that, the video, like, the devotees in 70s with Prabhupada, with Mataji and Prabhupada in dhoti kurtas, and that... It looks like it is made just a few months before. Like
yes, yes.
So fresh.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's always. Point, because it's an eternal dress. So this idea that it's Indian, it's not. It's an eternal dress. India happens to be the only place maybe where they still wear it. But if you look, so many other cultures, they still use the things. Even that, they're based on the Romans and the Greeks. They all wore chuddars. You look at them, they're all wearing, Jesus is wearing a chadar. Mm-hmm. A very long kurta and a chadar. That was kind of, that was the clothes. They all covered their heads. You know, so it's only recently that hats and all that went out of fashion, people didn't cover their heads. Otherwise before, you know, even up to like 800 years ago or even less, everyone covered their head. It's just proper. Because it balances the life airs. Nowadays, people don't cover and they're all crazy. And then, you know, we have, what is it? A few ways it's shown. Udmana. Yeah.
Yes.
Laughing, weeping, crying, talking, lying down, sitting, running, dancing, singing, reciting something without any reason. Smearing the body with ashes, dust, taking grass. Now, they take it that taking grass to another level, right? Yeah, so. Or other senseless acts, like having holes in your jeans. What's the point? I can understand in this super tight ones, the what did they call those? Jeggings or whatever it is. You know, their jeans are like leggings. They're super tight. That takes about 10 minutes to put on. They have holes in the knees. Otherwise, you can't bend your knees. So you'll see in those ones, they always have holes in the knees because otherwise you cannot bend your knees. But if they're a little looser than that, you don't need holes. Right? They still do jeggings?
Yeah.
Okay, fright, prasa. Fright is caused by vibhava such as flash of lightning, a meteor, thunder, earthquake, clouds, crying or howling of big animals and the like. It is to be represented on stage by anubhava such as shaking of narrow limbs. I guess hands or arms, you wouldn't shake your legs. Tremor of the body, paralysis, horripilation, speaking with a choked voice, talking irrelevantly, and the like. Yeah, because they'll just say, you know, it's like, what's coming? Use your words. You know? It's always a standard trope, no? Yeah. Deliberation, vitarka. Deliberation is caused by vibhava such as doubt, cogitation. I don't know if that's how you spell it. They use it in the South. Or at least they used to. Cogitate means you think about it. Perplexity and the like. It is to be represented on the stage by anubhava, such as various discussions. Settling. Are we missing a sentence here? You just go settling and then... These are the 33 transitory states. They are to be... Okay, you have to find what happened to the rest of this sentence. They are to be produced in a play by men and women of the superior, middling, and inferior types, in conformity with place, time, and occasion. Right? So then here it's going to be is that men and women, the superior, because you're going to have a superior, you know, women are going to act in the superior way, middling way. Right? And inferior in that way. Right? Men will be the same. But at the same time, say you have the hero and you have the feminine aspect, then they're going to be acting in one way which will take on the inferior nature in comparison to the hero and his superior nature, right? Does that make sense? Doesn't make sense?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
I just lost the connection.
Connection is here is that up to now he's been describing generally women always as in the inferior, but that's always in the comparison to the superior man or the hero. Like, she's afraid, he's then valorous. You know, she's afraid and has so much emotion, he's, you know, be peaceful and taking it very peacefully. Because that matches. If she's freaking out and he's freaking out, then it doesn't mean anything. Or if she's not freaking out, then how will he be valorous? Don't worry, I'll save you. What do you mean? I'm not. What's the problem? You know, there has to be a match, you know. Because we're seeing conjugal rasa has to be played there. Because even if it's not, the woman's not afraid, she may play afraid just to get the interaction. You know, does that make sense?
Yeah.
Don't talk about that one too much. Yes.
other occasions when, like, there is a need of the hour, if she's a Kshatriya lady, then they may come out to fight also.
Like, yeah, so they may have the valorous and things like that.
But they don't show generally then.
Yeah, so it's be refined. So the whole point is it's a matter of how these balance together in rasa, right? Or the bhavas go together. So they're giving them in reference that, you know, it's just like, let's say you have a bunch of friends, and they may be refined friends, but then someone is laughing more loudly, so he'll be taking the point of the inferior. So then generally all the way through, he'll show in that kind of way. You know, like Yudhishthir, he'll always be refined and show nothing. Bhima, he'll always show. You know, and Arjuna then will be patient and control Bhima. Like that. Does that make sense? You know, Draupadi will make her points, you know, like, why is this happening to us and all that. And then Yudhishthir will correct that. And, you know, then you have the dynamic that's there. So it's not that superior, inferior, meaning the social status. It just means on how the emotions are being processed and expressed. You know, like you see kids, generally it will be inferior. Even though, say, it's a Brahma kid, it'll be the inferior. They're more excited about things and this and that. But as they get older, then they go into that more less showing emotion. Does that make sense? You know, or the women are just with women and there's so much going on like that, and if somebody walks in the room, then everybody's quiet and cool and calm, and you know, so that kind of thing is there. So it's just a showing what are the positions that you're... Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not a matter of they're discriminating against. It's just like that. Because they say, you know, whatever, the men or the women of the superior, middling, and inferior type. So they're all like that. Because if you only have men, men will play the women also in the parts. But if you have men and women, women will play the women's parts, men will play the men's parts. You know, unless it's part of the script where the girl is dressing up like a man or the man's dressing up like a woman. But then the audience will know that they're doing that. Right, the other one is that it's only men doing the drama, so it's a woman. They're just playing that role. They're not dressing up as that, as part of the role. You know what I'm saying? They are playing that role. But another is that they're a man in the thing, but then, you know, Krishna, he'll then dress up as a girl. But we know that that's what's happening. But the actors, you know, in playing their role don't know. And so then that's all. And that way then they can... interact with us, you know, on the one thing, and interact with the others in the, you know, serious. Does that make sense? You know, showing that one is that you have showing the two sides. You're feigning anger, feigning these things. So when you're feigning something, then you're going to have the two sides. Otherwise, you won't see them break the fourth wall. But if you're feigning, then you can show that to the audience like this, and then, you know, go into the serious and... So these are just techniques that you can use. So it has all these things that generally you'll only see that kind of stuff in more, you know, kind of rowdy or bawdy kind of things. But here, the Vedic has everything in it. So from the most refined to these more simple or more kind of, you know, including the audience and what's going on. So it has all these elements, but they have their balance. That's the whole thing. It's not just one or just the other. So in the Vedic, all these go together. And depending, we'll see as it goes on, depending on the dramas, it'll have certain elements in it or not. But in the modern, they'll just take one thing and then it'll be called that kind of theater. Or another thing and it'll have another name of theater. Is that, you know, so it doesn't have that as the same balance. So you won't get all the genres in. Yeah. Okay, these are the 33 transitory states. They are to be produced in a play by men and women of the superior, middling, and inferior types in conformity with place, time, and occasion. Right? So you apply into that place, time, and occasion. So in one occasion you show it one way, in another you show it another way. So depending on the occasion, you might show it in a superior way, another occasion you show it in an inferior way. Like, have you ever seen the thing where, you know, there's a kid there. You know, a small kid, and he falls over or something. and you pick him up and this and that, you're okay and all, and he's perfectly fine. He's a little sober, like that. Then he walks over to his mother. And as soon as he gets to his mother, then it's like, it's a drama. Wow, that's impressive. You've seen that? Yeah, it's so far out. But with you, they're manifesting the superior reaction. But then with the mother, then it's the inferior. Because with you, what profit are they going to get? So by being superior, okay, tough kid, yeah, good, okay. But then when they go to the mom, then they're going to get the maximum profit out of inferior. So then, like that, yeah. So that's the point, is the time, place, and certain occasion. That's then all these will be used. So that's why you have to understand how that moves and that, and have the that kind of what your flavor. And that between the director, the actors knowing how to do, and then you get a very nice presentation, right? Verses 94 to 106, Satrika Bhavas. Udriti. Srila Rupa Goswami defines Satrika Bhavas in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu as follows. On the topic of rasa, when the heart becomes overwhelmed by ratis or bhavas in relation to Krishna, either directly or indirectly, The learned call this sattva. The transformations which arise solely from this sattva are called sattvika bhavas. There are three types of sattvika bhavas. Snigda, affectionate, arising from genuine rati. Digda, tainted, arising from other emotions. And ruksha, contaminated. Okay. Do we need this hyphen?
No.
Oh, it was in another place before. Contaminated, arising in a person without rati. Right, so then, no rati, then you see that these transformations come up. Then with some other emotions or other things that they're trying to show, and then you're going to have the pure. Srila Prabhupada. When a devotee is always intensely affected by love for Krishna in a direct relationship with him, or even a little apart from him, right, so direct or a little apart means the direct means you're directly interacting, or you're interacting with someone who's interacting. Mm-hmm. Right? Like that. His status is called existential ecstatic love. The symptoms originating from existential ecstatic love are divided into three headings, namely moist, burnt, and dried up.
Existential in this connection, in this sthayibha.
No, existential, this is sattvika. Because it's the existence of how you're doing. The sthayi then is I'm not sure what's the word you said, but existential is that just the state in which you are functioning. So, the physical state and like that. Jiva Goswami. In this definition, it should be understood that transformations arising from sattvad, asmat, samudpanna should really mean transformations arising solely from sattva. That is because the anubhavas, such as dancing, also arrive from sattva, heart overwhelmed by rati, but in combination with the intelligence. The sattvika bhavas, such as being stunned, stamba, arise from sattva alone, with no help from the intelligence. Thus, there is no overlapping of terms between anubhava and sattvika bhava. So in other words, when you have a sattvika bhava where the intelligence is functioning, like I want to do something, I want to do this or that, there's the thought of that, that will be anubhava. And when there's the intelligence is not, that's a sattvika bhava. So they all arise from sattva. It means both arrive from sattva. That's why they look so similar. Does that make sense? So that's why they see existential. And then you're going to do something with that. Because the one, you're not doing something with it. Being stunned, it's not that you're doing something with it. But dancing, then you feel this and you want to dance. So that's the thing. You think, I want to dance. I want to, it's like Mother Jashoda sees Krishna, she wants to embrace him or smell his head or sit him on her lap or feed him. So these are anubhavas where the intelligence is working. Right? Because the intelligence then, that's the point in the Abhideya, is that it's then you're doing something that will give some result. But the other ones, they're just happening. They're not producing a result as such. Does that make sense? So there he says there's no overlapping of terms. Because otherwise, in logic, then if the terms are overlapping, then you're dealing with the same thing. So you have to have it more clear. So it does come from logic that you're trying to show exact things of difference. But at the same time, is that doesn't mean that they're in little boxes that have no connection. Okay, so then this is back to? Okay, the verses. Are these bhavas called sattvika? Are these bhavas called sattvika? Because other bhavas, vibhavas, anubhavas, and transitory states are said to be devoid of sattva. Are these bhavas called sattvika? Because other bhavas, vibhavas, anubhavas, and transitory states are said to be devoid of sattva. An answer is said that the sattva in this connection is because these are caused due to overwhelming rati in the heart. Its nature, which includes horripilation, tears, loss of color, and the like, cannot be mimicked by an absent-minded man. In theatrical practice, situations of happiness as well as misery should so purely accord with the sattva behind them that they may appear to be realistic. Yathasvarupa, footnote 16. Sattvika bhavas are the physical dispositions of actions which has emotional base. Other anubhavas can be seen, presented, or communicated without feeling the internal emotions. But for the presentation of sattvika, an actor has to be involved with the actor's emotions, character's emotions. Any actor has to be one with the character's mind and heart involvement. Right? Here it says one with, but it's actually they're in tune with proper representing the mood and all that. Does that make sense? No, because that's the whole point. They're representing. They never become the character. They're representing. Others may see them in that way. That's why the audience can't go up and worship. And like say they're playing Sita and Ram, the audience may go up and worship them as Sita and Ram, like that. Sometimes you have in presentations that you'll end like Ramayana ends with Sita and Ram together on the throne. At that time, the audience can actually come up and offer flowers or money or things like that. Probably the theater's more interested in the money part, but you know the actors are cool with both, you know, because probably they don't get the money, but they get the attention, you know, and the theater gets the money. Maybe they get a cut, you know, whatever. So these kind of things, but they never think they are Sita and Ram. That's impersonalism. But the others see that they're representing so nicely that it's non-different. So that's why you can have that aspect, is that they're respected. Like in Vrindavan, in the Radha and Krishna, they do the same thing. At some point in the drama, then it comes out. So it seems to be more of a North India. I'm not sure if they do that South. But in North, they'll do that a lot. You know, because just the sentiment and everything. Now, here's something. Here's something that you didn't consider. Is I'm not sliding off the mat. I'm on the mat. The mat is sliding off of me. Yeah. It's just like, you know, we're slowly going forward.
Only one way.
Yeah. No, it's not going the other way. That's the thing. It's not that if I sit up, it goes back, and I lean forward, it goes down. No. Yeah, so little things like this you have to watch out for, because this is exactly what actors. Yeah, I'm Ram. Get in, you know, that's the method. That's Stanislavski. You become the character, and it's fun for a couple of days, and then everybody gets annoyed, like that. That is the only precondition for expressing the sattvika, right? The other ones, you just do the forms, and it'll work. For example, the actor can communicate or express other gestures and postures of physical actions in the bhava of shoka, the grief, but he cannot really cry. He cannot feel the true emotions of the character. That's there, but at the same time, there are those who can train themselves to cry. I mentioned that one actor was saying that they can cry anytime they like, and the others were like, yeah, how do you do that? You know, because you'll see is that there'll be the look in their eye, and then it'll go out, and it'll come back, and the tears going down. That's because they come and they put the drop of water there, you know, and then it'll roll down the cheek. like this. But this person then just starts the conversation, and then they just start to cry during it. And the other actors are like amazed. So you can do that. But generally it means the emotion has to be, you have to be more in tune with it. This is the difference between other anubhavas and the sattvika bhavas, right? So, yeah. No?
Yeah, while representing on stage, then the feeling is not there. Externally, if you perform action, it goes into the mood of the gesture itself.
Yes.
But this is more about that internal feeling, whether you have it or not.
Yeah, because the other is the extension of it, but it has that intellectual. So therefore, that's why you can with your intelligence, know that, I should stand like this, and that. And after you do that, you go over and stand like this, and everyone knows this has that mood, But but the point is that mood produces that, because that's the sattva.
Yes.
And then with the intelligence, then it goes into the anubhava. So.
Also, that's
because it's what is this? Which has an emotional base, right? So it's the physical which has the emotional base, and that's sattva. But when it's the emotional base, physical disposition with the intellectual. Intelligence, then that becomes an anubhava. So that's why you can just say from the vibhava you get anubhava, because that's what you're seeing. But if it doesn't go that far, then it's sattvika.
Mm-hmm. Also, that's the difference between a very good actor and a normal actor, that one who can feel the...
Yes. They can get into that. Yeah, that's they get Oscars for that. That's... Others are very good in that and very entertaining, but they don't get the Oscar. Right. Okay. The eight sattvika states are as follows: paralysis, perspiration, horripilation, change of voice, trembling, change of color, weeping, and fainting. Perspiration. Sveda occurs as a result of anger, fear, joy, shame, sorrow, toil, sickness, heat, exercise, fatigue, summer, and massage. Right, so it's showing then how each one of them, which they go back to their particular vyavicharis and all that, where that comes from. Paralysis, stumba, occurs as being due to joy, fear, sickness, surprise, sadness, intoxication, and anger. And trembling, trembling due to cold, fear, joy, anger, touch of the beloved, and old age. So that means touch of the beloved and touch of old age?
Same thing.
Weeping, ashra, occurs as being due to joy, indignation, smoke, weeping. Carilium. Colirium. Yawning, fear, sorrow. Looking with a steadfast gaze, cold and sickness. Change of color, vaivarnya, occurs as being due to cold, anger, fear, toil, sickness, fatigue, and heat. And horripilation, romancha, due to touch, fear, cold, joy, anger, sickness, and sickness. Change of voice, swara sada, occurs as being due to fear, joy, anger, fever, sickness, and intoxication. And fainting, pralaya, due to too much toil, swoon, intoxication, sleep, injury, astonishment, and the like. It's interesting how joy is in 6 out of 8. Like that. Yeah, so it says it has its basis in emotion. And then it has that. Then it has the physical reaction, but it's an involuntary. Well, the other one is more. You're involved. You're quite happy to be involved in that. Like we see that example of Raktak. He's fanning the Lord,
yes.
And then he gets that stumba paralysis, and then he's getting upset like that, and he can't fan. He gets upset, or another devotee, they start crying. They can't see, so then they get upset. So does that make sense? Yeah. So then the one where they're getting upset, that's the anubhava. So, yeah.
Come on, here's the sattvika, realize the effect.
The physical effect. But it's just coming on its own. So in other words, going direct from your emotion to physical.
Yes.
Like that. Because it explained before, remember, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that it means that those emotions then push on certain of the life airs, which push on certain senses.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, certain elements. Like water produces weeping, perspiration, mm-hmm. things like that. Air will produce horripilation or things like this, or fainting, you know, or that's, I think, earth. So you have that mechanical of what's going on, but it means the emotion then affects those life airs that are dealing in those areas, and you get that symptom. Mm-hmm. Well, the anubhava is then something that a response of basically service or interaction that the devotees wants to do. Like that. Does that make sense? But they're very similar. That's why the Jiva Goswami makes the point. They're all going to be eventually going back to the Vibhava. But, you know. That makes sense. Yeah. Paralysis should be represented on the stage by being inactive, motionless, dispirited like an inert object, senseless and stiff-bodied. Perspiration should be represented on the stage by taking up a fan, wiping off sweat, and looking for breeze. Right? Because you can't see the perspiration. Right? Horripilation should be represented on the stage by repeated thrills, hair standing on the end, and by touching the body. Like if I go, ooh, like that, then you know it's horripilation.
Yeah.
You know, stuff like that, even though you're not. Change of voice should be represented by broken and choked voice, and trembling by quivering, throbbing, and shivering. Change of color should be represented by alteration of color of the face, by putting pressure on the artery. And this is dependent on the limbs. Wow. That's far out. So they know which one to press, and then,
yes.
then their facial color will go lighter. Wow. Weeping should be represented on the stage by rubbing of the eyes and shedding tears, and loss of consciousness by inaction, motionless, imperceptible breathing, and finally by falling on the ground. Footnote 17. Can be easily observed from the classification of the eight anubhavas of Satvika by Bharat Muni that there is more emphasis on angika, bodily expression, that becomes main factor to convey, and then vachika, the speech. Vachika is almost neglected. Because once you get to so far out, we wait until it gets in front of the wall to talk. While before, that's when we stop. Right? So, it's because by the angikas, by the bodily expression, that's where you do. Then when you add words to it, it then makes it even more. Then the words carry it. But it has to be able to first be appreciated there.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
Can we say that in drama the vision is the most important thing?
Yes, because that's what you're saying. It's vision and then you're hearing.
Because
otherwise you could just hear.
Yes.
You know? Like that. You know, that dramatic reading and that kind of thing. And that, you know, they put a little bit of sound in the background and, you know, so then you have. And it's quite effective. I think it was when they did a dramatic reading of War of the Worlds. It just came on because the presentation of it's in the book form, it just presents it as if this is what's going over the radio.
Yes.
It's being announced at this. And so it just came on like it was a radio announcement. People completely freaked out. Right? So well done, they thought it was real. Like that. And then afterwards, they had to make announcements that it wasn't. So it can be so well done, like that. But the point is, that's the point of here, is that you're including the eyes. Then it improves. Just like you hear, that's one thing. But when you hear and see, then you get more.
Yes.
Like I think it was the other, what's it? Yeah, a little time before, one of the Matajis who came and she sat down in the place and that and started to hear, and then at one point during we were talking, she got up and moved. And she excused herself that my hearing's a little problem, so I have to see you.
Yes, yes.
Because that improves, you know, what you're getting by hearing, because then they can see the bodily motions, this, that, you know, and then get more of an understanding. So it improves. So that's the whole thing. So if you can do it by the physical, like that, and then you add the words, then it really has a strong effect. So, yes.
Also, they study the people and they see that the four categories, those who get maximum just by hearing,
okay,
this is up to 7% max.
Up to 7.
Or maximum 7% of all the entire, you know, population.
Okay.
So this is very limited.
Okay.
Then those who hear and see, those are the majority.
Okay.
I don't know the terminology in English.
Okay.
And then the third category is they, in order to understand something, to get an experience, they have to hear, they have to see, and then touch.
Okay.
So it should be like really close.
Okay.
And then the fourth category, they need logic behind it.
Okay.
So if it's logical, then everything will make sense. But if it's not logical, they can't experience that.
Okay.
So by hearing is very limited percentage.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes.
But our tradition is Shravana, so this makes it really, really difficult.
Yeah.
That's why people, you know, preachers use visuals.
Yeah.
In nowadays presentation.
But that's also that's where manana comes in, because if it's understood the process, because it's thought that just hearing is it. But no, you're supposed to hear, contemplate, and apply it.
Yeah.
So therefore, hearing is how to remove doubts, you know, present it and remove doubts so that you're able to apply it in manana. So if you can't apply it in manana, you haven't finished the hearing process. So then you will see, you will experience. So all three are there. But here it's that they use all three just to, you know, clear doubts, and that's it. But there's no practical. So the point is no, you're supposed to take it and be practical. That's why you see, I think it's year before then, making the point is there were a lot of questions that would come up where you said something and they've just heard it and they just react to it and then ask a question rather than contemplate, well, how does this apply? Yeah, it seems to be a slow process. Bring 100 sticks, 20 of them stay in place.
They don't have, they use only feet.
Yeah, yeah, no, it's not. No, leave it, they'll come and get it. Yeah, no, they come and pick it up. They'll be back for these. See, is that, there's also the thing is, he brings them. And then he may put them in place, or she puts them in place like that. But if he brings a stick that she doesn't like, it's just dropped over on the ground. So sometimes these are those. And then he goes out and gets more. But then after a while, there's not so many. He comes back and picks these up. And because he's taking them back the second time like that, I guess the extra effort, now she accepts them. You know, like that. You know, so at least the first time it was a good stick. But the second time he's put in, you know, the effort was put into getting a good stick. So a not good stick means that it's rejected. But then when he's put in the extra effort and bring it again, you know. And you see him sometimes two or three times they're taking that it falls out. Then he gets it. And then finally it gets put into place. Because you see it. He'll just hand it over to her and she'll just pick it up and toss it out. Yeah. Of course. Like that. That's the event in Gurukul. You get all these animals are all you see all this, because otherwise you're thinking that it only we have the tendency only humans have all these emotions, but no, the animals have all this eating, sleeping, mating, defending exactly the same. Like that, they just can't not. They can't go that they're the soul, not the body. They just don't know. They can't understand that. But everything else is exactly the same. Okay, so it's almost neglected. It means because this, we're just explaining this part, because the Vachika is going to be the screenplay. I mean, the what do you call it? What do they call it, the theater ones? You have the playwright who writes it. I guess just the script. So then the script, that'll be who's writing it will put down. Then he adds these things in. So you don't have to explain what to say, because anything... certain ones that need physical, you know, like certain pains, he says you make that, or, you know, in fear sometimes they'll make sounds that don't mean anything, you know, so a few of them, they make sounds, you know, or sometimes they're so distressed, they make sounds that don't mean anything, you know, or they're intoxicated, they make sounds that don't mean anything. Other intoxicated people seem to know what you're talking about, but, you know, it's like little kids, they can't talk, but they have full conversations. You know, like that. Yeah, remember, it was, I had, you know, didn't know how to read, but if you give me a comic book, even though it has the words, I know what they're saying. You know, you just see the things and all that, and what's going on, and the faces, and you know what's going on, and in your own mind, it's the whole story's going. So they just go by all these, you know, these external, the Anubhavas. And then from that, so the animals is the same. They go by the Anubhavas. You know. Like there was this one, I saw this one article. It was on this little girl. She may have been like 3. And the parents were, I think they were, you know, sometimes you have different, I don't know what they are. Whether they're scientists or whether they're people into some kind of social welfare, things like that. But they you know, come from all over the world, and they'll go to Africa and work with the animals there. You know? Because sometimes animals, there's a problem for them, or, you know, either the reserves or something happens, so they take them to a special place where they're taken care of and that. So you had this little 3-year-old girl. And all the animals that were there, she would just walk right out into them. Big, huge elephants. You know, because the Indian, African elephants are huge, especially the male ones. But she'd go out there with this big smile on her face and like that, with her arms out like this. And they'd just pick her up and put them on their head and do things. And all the animals just dealt with her completely differently, because the Anubhavas were such a, you know, hey, you know, my old friend. She'd sit down with the lions and hang out with them, and, you know, like that kind of stuff. Just because the Anubhavas, yes.
Recently in Thailand, like, you go on that tourist spot, you go with vehicles, and the elephants, they just freak out. One of the guy, he has a bike, and he saw the elephants coming, he saw his dad. He offered obeisances to the elephant, and the elephant left him. He didn't do anything. He just raised his hand, offered him.
Yeah. Because they know the animal. Yeah. Does that make sense? Yeah, so therefore it's not a fault that it doesn't mention that. It's just a matter of that's the play itself. These are expressions for the words. In other words, the words are what you're expressing. Right? You're expressing particular bhavas. That's through the words. That'll have the physical and emotional forms that'll be used. Like that. So we're discussing that. So naturally you don't have to discuss the words like that. Does that make sense? So it's not that it's neglected, it's just that it doesn't need to be explained here, because that's part of it. So that took us to there. Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.